Washington is thinking big again when it comes to raising the debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Congress has 13 days left to raise the debt ceiling or the U.S. government starts defaulting on its debt. And now there's word that a grand compromise is back on the table in Washington, a package that wouldn't just raise the debt ceiling, but would also take a bite out of the nation's public debt. It comes from a bipartisan group of senators known as the Gang of Six. And our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is here live with the details. Good morning, John.
Hey, Jeremy.
So what's in this plan?
Well, the key part for the White House and Democrats is that the deal achieves bipartisan support for bringing down some of the deficit through tax revenues and not all spending cuts. And in fact, in this package, over a quarter of the $3.7 trillion in deficit reduction comes from tax changes that bring in new revenue. Yesterday, President Obama gave it his seal of approval, essentially because it meets his requirement that the solution be balanced.
It would not match perfectly with some of the approaches that we've taken, but I think that we're in the same playing field.
But, John, same playing field. We're less than 2 weeks away from the deadline. Is there time to pass something?
Not this package. They've come too close to the August 2nd debt ceiling to put a complicated deal into legislative language and then get it through both the Senate and the House, especially the House, where the crafting of the details will be the most delicate. So to go for a grand compromise means that there would have to be some kind of short-term extension on the debt ceiling that would give Congress some more time, and that's pretty doubtful. But remember, there is Plan B from Senate leaders who propose doing the minimum necessary to extend the debt ceiling through the next election.
Keeping everyone guessing. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington, thanks.
My pleasure.
Well, tomorrow is the official launch of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. And for more on what that means for us consumers, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is this CFPB going to be able to do?
Right out of the gate, it's going to be looking after credit cards. It's going to be looking after mortgages. It's going to be looking after a number of products like that that for many consumers can be very troublesome.
How would that be felt for me? If I go sign up for a new credit card, is there going to be something different that happens as a result of this agency?
Well, you won't have a CFPB person standing over your shoulder making sure that it all goes well, but you will have some recourse. For example, a lot of people are always contacting me saying, where should I turn if I have some problem? Here's the place now.
And they'll actually be able to do something about it.
Well, they say they will, but it's going to be a mixed bag at first. Some of their new powers, for example, payday loans, which have been largely unregulated in the past, that's a new critter. Well, they're not going to be able to regulate those until they have a director in place. And as we've been seeing on the political front, that's still kind of a coin toss.
Okay, well, let's zoom out a little bit. If this thing had been in place a few years ago, could it have really prevented the kind of crisis that we saw in housing or in lending or in any of the parts of the economy that went bad?
I would say yes. And the key reason here is that the other agencies that are out there that look after this industry, they're concerned first and foremost with the stability of the banking industry, not with the consumer. Here is an agency that looks at it completely from the other side and says, we're going to look at it from the consumer's point of view and make sure the consumer isn't hurt. So I would think that if anyone could have raised a red flag early on, these are the guys who could have done it.
But don't people have some personal responsibility for their decisions as a consumer?
Absolutely they do. And there's no question that the onus should be on all consumers to make sure that they're informed consumers and smart consumers. But that said, it's not a level playing field. There are businesses out there that will at times tilt things in their direction and, you know, maybe take advantage of people. When that happens, you want to make sure that there's a teacher in the room to split the kids apart.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up around the world this morning after Apple reported a record $7.3 billion profit for its latest quarter. Key sales numbers, 9.3 million iPads, 20.3 million iPhones. On Wall Street yesterday, investors were feeling good about earnings, the debt ceiling, you name it. The Dow jumped 202 points, its biggest gain of the year, to close at 12,587.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ. For the latest in healthcare, Marketplace recently visited Russia for an intriguing look at the changing healthcare system. Visit marketplace.org and click on the health link for more.
If you think our 9% unemployment rate is bad, just look at Spain. Theirs is more than 20%, and it's pushed a record number of families to default on their mortgages. And now, as the BBC's Sarah Rainsford reports from Madrid, protesters have come up with an unusual way of keeping people in their homes.
Almost every day, they're sending out notices on Twitter to form flash mobs and protest against the high number of foreclosures here. Crowds appear in front of a home, chanting and singing, and they block access to the property banks are trying to repossess. They've already forced the suspension of more than 60 foreclosures. The economic crisis has left almost 5 million Spaniards unemployed. That's what worries protesters like Eloy Morte.
In the first 3 months of the year, it's been around 15,000 families evicted from their houses. In Spain, there's a big crisis. The people have lost their jobs.
One reform the protesters demand is for banks to cancel all outstanding debt if a borrower hands over the keys to their property. Economists, though, warn that could cost the banks $5.5 billion, a real problem for Spain's financial sector, which is already shaky. In Madrid, I'm the BBC's Sarah Rainsford for Marketplace.
And finally, the Center for Science in the Public Interest has released its annual rankings of the worst for you menu items at chain restaurants, like Applebee's provolone stuffed meatballs with fettuccine, 1,520 calories and 2 days worth of saturated fat, or the Cheesecake Factory's ultimate red velvet cake cheesecake, which is like eating a personal pan pepperoni pizza from Pizza Hut, 2 quarter pounders with cheese, plus an additional day's worth of saturated fat. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You could say they had an identity crisis in the run-up to the financial crisis, public company or private.
If it walks, flies, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And Fannie and Freddie walk, fly, and quack like private companies.
Only they're really not. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.